you a high performer, obsessed with growth, and looking for an edge? Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. Together, we'll discover underground secrets to unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit. We'll learn from some of the world's leading minds, from ancient wisdom to cutting-edge tools and everything in between. This is your host, Nick Urban. Enjoy the episode. Hey, thanks for tuning in to Mind Body Peak Performance. We're going to explore a technology that's near and dear to my heart, one I use several times every year. This device helps me decode my unique responses to different foods, forms of exercise, and lifestyle factors like hot and cold exposure via sauna or ice bath. When I'm intermittent fasting, it helps me determine what's breaking my fast. It helped me discover what was causing me to wake up like clockwork every night at 2 to 3 a.m. Once I knew the cause, making the necessary change was easy. It keeps me accountable when that late night ice cream, dessert, or sweet just calls my name and I'd otherwise succumb to the temptation. Ladies, I've heard but cannot confirm it's useful to understand how your body changes throughout your monthly cycle. So, this technology is continuous glucose monitoring. Yes, your blood glucose is a treasure trove of information, and decoding this with us is Molly Downey, a registered dietitian from NutriSense, a company paving the way in terms of continuous glucose monitoring technology. Molly will cover her background in more depth in a minute, but for a brief synopsis, Molly Downey is a registered dietitian nutritionist, RDN, a licensed dietitian nutritionist, LDN, who specializes in glucose control, metabolism, and weight loss. She graduated from Indiana University, Bloomington, and currently works as a dietitian at NutriSense, a health technology company which leverages continuous glucose monitors, CGMs, as a way to optimize diet, health, and overall well-being. Though we talk about my experience and her experiences working at NutriSense, if you're looking for additional supplements or products that can help stabilize blood sugar, I've written a review of the science and different products on the market. Links will be in the show notes. I'll also include two other links, one to my full NutriSense review, and another one on a comparison to all of the other companies with CGM systems. I am a partner of NutriSense's, and when you go to NutriSense.io, use your MindBody Peak Performance code URBAN, you get $25 off their systems. As the holidays draw near, I'll also be running another experiment to hack my metabolism and do damage control by figuring out which of my favorite holiday indulgences do the least damage to my body. If you find this episode interesting, please leave a review and share it wide. That's what helps us get found and how I continue bringing you thought-provoking guests. Okay, let's get started. I'm excited tonight to have Molly Downey on the show. Molly is a registered dietitian at NutriSense. She's helping pioneer the future with the technology I'm a big fan of myself. Molly, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks for having me.
What are some non-negotiable things that you've done for your health and performance today?
I think something that's more so a routine for me is when I wake up in the morning, I try to not, you know, go straight to my phone. I will try to either go for a walk when I wake up, do some sort of meditation or journal. So I feel like that's kind of my go-to every day.
It's solid.
Yeah. I feel like everything else, like exercise and what I'm eating, it's kind of just, it can vary on a day-to-day basis, but the most consistent thing is that for sure.
I was doing that, but I use my phone for guided meditation sometimes and to log my data via Aura. And so it's a slippery slope. Once you turn that on, you get the notifications. It's hard not to check.
Oh, totally. I know. I pick up my phone. I like turn the sleep thing on now. Yeah. So you can't see any notifications. So I think that helps. And if you can go directly to wherever you're trying to go, then that helps.
So tell me a little bit about what is a continuous glucose monitor? That's the topic of today's episode. And there's controversy among health optimizers these days, because there's one segment that says this is a futuristic technology helping to personalize health and wellness. And the other camp is saying that these devices are strictly for type 2 diabetics.
Right. So I think when someone thinks of blood sugar, they're going to directly associate that with someone with diabetes, right? Because that's the common association. But we are leveraging the continuous glucose monitor as a way to optimize health. And it's not only for someone who has diabetes. It can be someone who is, you know, generally healthy and they're just looking to optimize their health, whether that be through, you know, their different exercise routines, just looking at stress levels, sleep, just how they specifically respond to different foods. Everyone responds differently, and that's the most interesting aspect of it all. It's more so we're trying to focus on the individuality of the person. And, you know, there's no one size fits all. And this just provides far better insight into a person's, you know, metabolic processes. So it's definitely helpful in that sense. So basically a continuous glucose monitor, you apply it on the back of your arm or the one that we use the Freestyle Libre, and it connects to our app. So you basically scan in, and it goes into a graph in the app, and it's continuously monitoring your glucose throughout the day. So your glucose is fluctuating throughout the day. So it's not going to be, you know, if you're looking at your glucose through just using a glucometer, you're only getting that one instance in time. Whereas the CGM, you are getting just a greater picture of everything that's going on. Specifically, I would say like with how you're responding to a specific food. So if you're just using a glucose meter, then you might miss out on the overarching response to, you know, how high you peaked, how long is it taking to come back down? And I think that's, you know, the whole idea of glycemic variability, which we can dive into later on, but that's what's so important there. So if you're just doing one single finger prick, you're not really getting that big picture. So I think the general overview is that you're just getting that big picture with everything.
And also, if you just do this single finger prick, it depends when you do it. If you take it right after a meal versus 30 minutes after versus an hour after versus before, you don't know what your baseline was before the meal unless you're taking multiple finger pricks. But before we go into more about the continuous glucose monitor specifically, what is the impact? Why does glucose matter and how does it factor into all the other hormones and biological processes?
There are specific thresholds that we want to stay in. So it's kind of the idea of homeostasis, and going beyond or below those specific thresholds can pose, you know, something from occurring. So say you had a high blood sugar spike that was, you know, say the upper threshold is 140 milligrams per deciliter, and you're going up to 170, and your levels are staying there for an extended period of time, say, you know, 4+ hours. It's, you know, what we're seeing with research is it's beyond that threshold that you are increasing your susceptibility to oxidative stress or cellular damage or inflammation from occurring. So all of these, especially with inflammation, like it's a underlying issue with so many different disease states, whether that be diabetes or cardiovascular disease or, you know, autoimmune issues. So it can be an underlying issue for a lot of different aspects of health. And I like to say too, you know, a lot of people will come in thinking it's going to be, you know, that answer to all their problems, but it's not necessarily going to be, but it is a puzzle piece in understanding your health. So there's so many different ways in which it can help someone. So I think that's just the cool aspect of it. There's so many, you know, working parts there.
And it's highly correlated with hormones such as insulin and glucagon. And we know that insulin resistance is one of the leading cause of suboptimal health.
Yeah, exactly. So say you eat something and you're, you know, a banana, for example, you're going to digest that and it's going to absorb into your bloodstream and you're going to see a blood sugar rise. Someone might see one that's more pronounced than someone else, but just for, you know, the general idea of it. And how your body responds is then the pancreas is going to release insulin. And the insulin just acting as that kind of lock and key that's going to allow the glucose to be removed from the bloodstream. It'll enter into the cell, and then it can be utilized as energy. And then your blood sugar is going to then come back down into more, you know, within that threshold that we want it to be in. With glucagon is going to kind of be that opposite. So if your blood sugar is dipping too low, then the glucagon's going to be released, and then it's going to kind of stimulate more glucose production to kind of boost up those levels in your blood. So again, it's constantly working to stay within these regulations. So there's definitely a lot of hormones in play. But insulin resistance is something that we see all the time in glucose data for sure.
And this is different the way NutriSense and other CGMs work. It's different than the typical blood draw you get in the office in terms of the values you get.
Exactly. So if you went into your doctor's office, they're going to look at your fasting glucose. So that's going to be when you wake up in the morning. It's more looking at like a baseline glucose value, and it's without eating for at least 8 hours. So, but again, that's just one single snapshot in time. If you're looking at your A1C, that's your average glucose levels over a 3-month period. Again, there can be some nuances there as well. And you're not so much looking, you could be missing parts of like glycemic variability and the swings in glucose. So we see that all the time as well.
With the A1C, you're averaging your glucose over time. So you could have huge swings up and then huge peaks down, which is not healthy, but it might look like it's in a good reference range.
Exactly. So I think I'm the perfect example of that. I'm someone who has terrible postprandial or post-meal responses, and I just have a poor tolerance to carbohydrate in general. Mm. But my A1C is fine. It's 4.9. So if I'm looking at just my A1C, my blood sugar is presumably great. But when I'm wearing the CGM, I can, you know, recognize these noticeable responses where my blood sugar is peaking beyond these thresholds. And that's the idea of the glycemic variability and what we want to try to avoid, because that's what's progressing these issues that, you know, can further develop down the road.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about why continuous glucose monitors, like how are people using them?
Yeah, I think that's the cool aspect of working at NutriSense. We have such a wide range of people that will come to us. We have generally healthy individuals. We have athletes. We have people who are pre-diabetic, people who have diabetes. So I think if someone with diabetes, they come in, and it can be a multitude of different things, but I think a lot of it's accountability that people focus on. A lot of people come in and they want to try to, you know, get off their medications or reverse their insulin resistance, which is definitely takes more time and persistence, but we have seen successes with it, with athlete nutrition as well. Everyone responds differently to specific workouts. So I think there's definitely a lot of intrigue there. You know, how am I responding to, you know, if I eat this before a workout, or, if I can eat a carbohydrate following a workout, am I able to better tolerate it than, you know, if I eat it when I did not work out? So there are different implications there that I think there's a lot of curiosity. There are other individuals as well. So we get a lot of women with PCOS. We also get, you know, if there's kind of autoimmune issues or, you know, other things going on where someone just wants further insight into what's going on in their body, then, you know, I think the CGM is kind of that new technology that's providing better insight there.
The way I see it is it's one way of decoding your body.
For sure. Exactly. And I think there's so much excitement there with this technology, and hopefully all the emerging technologies as well, is everything will become more individualized, and you'll have, you know, more control over what's actually going on inside of you. And, you know, everything's kind of based now off of these general concepts, you know, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. But I mean, I can speak, and you know, all the dietitians at NutriSense, we've all seen so much information and data that it's truly individualized. And that's why we're always open to experimentation and exploration, because it's about discovering how your body responds to these specific things. So I think that is for sure the future of health.
And for example, someone might do really well with white rice, which seems atypical because it's a high glycemic index, glycemic load food, but they might do really poorly with broccoli or something healthy. And that's maybe less typical, but it's still possible and does happen.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's, again, why experimenting with different carbohydrates is super cool, because you can see how, you know, you're responding in, you know, in comparison to someone else as well. So, and if you do have a high glucose response from something, I never call it quits right there. Mm-hmm. There are ways to kind of work around that. So, you know, just because you come, if you do use a continuous glucose monitor and you have a high blood sugar spike beyond threshold, there are many different, you know, implications that can come into play here. So it's more so working with how can we, you know, work to discover a way to regulate that glucose response, because there are ways to go around it. So
yeah.
I think that's important to note as well. So you don't like, oh, I can never have that food again. It's not really the case. So,
and we'll talk about some of those hacks in a minute, but some of the other ways that I've used the NutriSense CGM and found interesting insights was, first of all, checking the staples, the dietary staples that the snacks I eat on a regular basis. And the labels can say one thing, but they're notoriously inaccurate and sometimes don't report the full truth. So I was surprised to find a couple of the protein bars I ate that said they were sweetened with stevia actually spiked my blood sugar a lot, but stevia itself doesn't. So something suspicious there. And if you're following any kind of like restrictive keto diets or going plant-based, and you're limiting yourself to what these healthy foods are, if you're taking one of these hidden saboteurs every day, you're hindering your progress without even realizing where it's coming from.
Exactly. And I think we have a ton of keto carnivore users as well. So I always encourage them to try to, you know, test out those different keto products, because there's always different responses. There's some people just respond horribly in general to most of them. They'll have a glucose response, and then it's frustrating too, because they're trying to find, you know, common ground. But I think if you are following more of a keto diet, it's just more so focusing on the whole foods when you can. But you know, those keto treats, they should be a treat just as anything else should be. There's still a lot of processing that's involved there, so it's not necessarily healthy. And I think a lot of people have glucose responses as well, so definitely important to test out.
One other hidden benefit of CGM technology that I don't hear enough people discussing is that it's a digital accountability partner. Not only do you have someone on the NutriSense team looking over your data, asking you how it's going, but you also see your scores after every meal, after every day. And next time you're going to, you pull out that ice cream, you think to yourself, is it worth it? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe I should just put this away. And it makes those decisions much easier.
Definitely. And I think at NutriSense, there's the combination effect of just looking at the graph in general. And, you know, you get a sense after a few weeks what you're more so responsive to. So I think it's both that aspect of like, oh, I don't want to see that blood sugar spike, but also you have dietitian support as well. So I think that's a huge accountability aspect as well. We have a ton of people who come on for weight loss in general. And again, it's just having that person there with you to kind of help you through and knowing that someone's, you know, helping you through all these different habit changes is super helpful.
Yeah. Let's move on to designing a proper continuous glucose monitor experiment. What's the process there? As I see it, there's two ways. You can either keep your lifestyle the same and find any anomalies, or you can try radical things to see how your body responds to them, just so that you know.
I definitely recommend just going with your natural way of eating for, you know, at least 2 weeks or something, just to see how you're responding to specific foods that, mm-hmm. you know, it might surprise you. And then kind of going from there and doing more so of manipulations. But there's definitely, if you want to be super strategic about it in running these experiments, you know, if I give, someone did it so perfectly. Mm-hmm. So I think this is such a good example. He created a control. So he was testing apple cider vinegar and he was using ACV, like the supplement.
Yeah.
So he was comparing the actual apple cider vinegar versus a supplement, and then he created a control. So he did it at the exact same time every morning. So he had the control, saw the response, did it with the ACV pill, saw the response, and then did it with the actual apple cider vinegar. And ultimately, the apple cider vinegar helped regulate the response and the pill did nothing. So mm-hmm. I think setting up those experiments are so cool because they fully represent actually what's going on. So I think there's so many cool ways to kind of go about what you're doing. But even if you, you know, want to test out a specific carb, I think, you know, looking at different times of the day, you know, whether you're using it, you know, eating that food after a workout or, you know, pairing it with a protein or something, like all of it, there's so many ways to kind of manipulate the glucose response. So it's just, it takes time, but it's fun to do.
What are some of the other constants to pay attention to? Like, I know there's time of day, there's amount of sleep you get. What are some of the others?
I would say stress is a huge one. Like if you're super stressed out, even, you know, I think sleep in general causes that mm-hmm. stress. So if you have a bad sleep, you wake up and you eat something, you may have a more pronounced response because of that poor sleep. Also, if you're stressed in general, say you have like a job interview that day or something, I see this all the time, and you may have a more pronounced glucose response as well. Definitely post-workout is a good time for consuming carbohydrate because you can better tolerate them at this time mm-hmm. for most people. So I think that's just an interesting one to see. Time of day, we can kind of go into more, but I think that's a huge one for sure. But yeah, there's so many different variables that play into actually, you know, what's actually posing this glucose response.
And it's not even just strenuous workouts. If you go on a walk, that'll dramatically change the resulting glucose spike or lack of spike.
Yeah, I think even when I first started wearing the CGM, I walk all the time now, all the time, because it's just such a great way to dispose of any excess glucose. So if you're having a glucose response, you can see that on CGM and you want it to come down sooner, going for a walk is super effective. Even in the morning, some people have higher overnight values and it kind of takes a while to nudge them to get them back down. So if you are someone with higher overnight values, just going for a walk in the morning can really help dispose of that glucose and level it out sooner rather than later. But walks are huge.
Yeah. I tested out a handful of other lifestyle factors and I found that cold exposure, specifically a cold shower for 5 minutes, decreased blood glucose, but not nearly as much as the walk. The walk I found to be the most effective, and I guess stress management practices were up there also.
Yeah, I've seen glucose drops with stress management, so like meditation or something, especially if they're super stressed out with cold showers or just being cold in general, mm-hmm. any sort of cold therapy can help bring down glucose levels. So I think that's a fun thing to always experiment with if you're interested. And I forget the last one that you said.
Seasonality would make a difference here too. Maybe just because of the cold, but possibly for other reasons as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's just something that we see all the time. But definitely with the heat, I've been seeing that a mm-hmm. lot. So.
Are there specific food groups people should test?
Well, I think that carbohydrate and protein are definitely the ones that are going to pose the most effect. Fat doesn't do as much, but fat does not play a role. So if you're if you're eating something and you add in a fat, most likely will create a more prolonged glucose response. So say you eat cup of grapes or something by itself, you might have a large glucose response. But what if you add in the avocado and the grapes? You might have a more modulated glucose response, and it might take longer to come back down. And that's just that the fat is slowing the process of this.
Is that better or worse?
It depends. I think in smaller doses, like if you're just using more natural sources, like a fruit and an avocado, it's great. You know, it delays that response. But if some of the worst responses that we see are with something like a pizza, uh-huh, or, you know, like Alfredo pasta or something like that, anything that's that starchy component in combination with high amounts of fat, that's when you see those super high spikes. The starch promotes that high spike. And then the delay from the fat, it keeps your glucose levels high for extended periods of time. So that's not what we want to see. So going for walks after meals like that specifically are super, super important, because you really want to dispose of that excess glucose.
But so is a short but extreme spike better or worse than a lower spike but longer?
Yeah, I would say, because going beyond that threshold, so if you spike higher and you're up there for a decent amount of time, then that's the worst, you know, response that there is. Then, you know, you might spike and you come back down quickly. And like, that's better, because you're displaying good insulin sensitivity and, you know, glucose tolerance, and you're able to recover faster. So that's a good sign. But if you spike to 105 and it takes a longer period of time to, you know, come back down, you're not in those high alarming levels, so it's not so much of an issue.
I see. And are glucose spikes always bad? Like, say I go out and do an intense exercise session and my body needs to mobilize more glucose. Is that a bad thing?
No. So a lot of people it's very normal to see a blood sugar spike with a high intensity exercise. So generally speaking, with exercise, I just like to keep the spikes below at least 180, 160, but it is normal for them to go higher, and the response is not insulin mediated. So it's kind of, it differs from an actual food response. So yeah. So it's not as much so, or it's not, it's a normal process. So, and especially with exercise, it improves your insulin sensitivity for the rest of the day as well. As I've mentioned earlier, like you can tolerate carbs after much more effectively. So it's just a minor stress on the body, but ultimately is super effective in improving glucose levels.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's good to know. So you won't become insulin resistant from daily exercise.
No. it definitely helps in improving it for sure.
Yeah. And when I go to design my next experiment, what times of the day should I pay special attention to?
Well, I think part of the experimental process might be, okay, what if I try something at 9 in the morning versus what if I try it at 9 p.m.? Mm-hmm. You know, what if it's the exact same thing with, you know, no confounding variables and the only difference is the time? Then it's interesting. Like, most people will be more responsive in the evening because we just naturally have a decrease insulin sensitivity at that time. So we have less so of a tolerance to carbohydrate. So this is one of the most, you know, major trends that we see in the glucose data, is that we're far more responsive just to meals in general later on at night, but carbohydrates specifically. So I think that's just a cool experiment in general, is trying it earlier in the day versus later on at night and just comparing the responses.
And what else should people pay attention to? You got morning, you got night. How about post meal? Is that important?
I like to keep your levels at baseline, pre-meal, and then, you know, go from there. So you can run different experiments throughout the day. It's just important, you know, watch for that recovery, make sure that your first experimental response is back to baseline, and then you can experiment again from there.
On the topic of optimizing physical performance, how are you seeing athletes use NutriSense?
Yeah, so I think a lot of athletes will come in And again, some might have more so of a stress response from their workouts. So again, we're hoping to stay under 180 milligrams per deciliter with their glucose responses, but maybe someone is spiking high into the 200s with their exercise responses. So that would kind of trigger more so of an alarm. So what I usually do is I work first with pre-meal. What are you eating beforehand? Are you fasted? Are you eating a high carbohydrate meal? What are the components of that meal? And I work with manipulations there to see if we can help modulate that response. Because at the end of the day, you know, is it coming from the exercise itself, or is it coming from the food in general? So I think looking at that is definitely the first one. And also hydration comes into play too. So making sure that you're properly hydrated can play a role as well. And then also, I think a lot of people struggle with, you know, what should you be focusing on in that post-workout period? So just making sure that, you know, we're optimizing there, making sure that you're focusing on full recovery and everything. And I think it is cool just in general to see your different responses to, say, a high intensity workout versus something that's more moderate, like a walk or a hike or, you know, something, because those things are more so are going to cause the glucose dip, whereas the higher intensity will cause more of a spike. Also with like just strength training in general, that usually poses more of just kind of like a small bump. It doesn't usually cause like a very large spike. So it's just interesting to see how you're specifically responding, and then we can kind of make manipulations from there.
That's what I saw in my data too, with the strength training, just a slight increase. How much does hydration impact glucose?
It depends. And I think that's something that's harder for me to actually get a sense of, because it's, because we're communicating via just the app. But I think when we actually focus on hydration and electrolytes, then I have seen improvements in, you know, the regulation of their response. Mm-hmm. So I think it's more so people that are more zeroed in on that, and we can talk about it, but I've seen improvements for sure. So
when athletes get this dialed, they feel more energy. What else? Any other like noticeable improvements?
Yeah, I think just energy during workouts for sure. Recovery. I think it's nice to know how their body is responding, knowing specifically what to eat beforehand. Because some people do okay working out in a fasted state. Other people do better with incorporating some sort of carbohydrate protein beforehand. So I think it's nice to see the glucose response in coordination with what they're deciding to do. Hmm.
Then on the cognitive side of things, if you're a desk worker, how does this impact you outside of meals?
If you're just sitting at your desk all day, not moving around, I've had plenty of people do experiments where they're standing up even all day versus sitting down all day and just eating their regular meals, and their glucose responses will be higher when they're sitting down. So again, it's just that those simple movements throughout the day. That's why walking's so important, even standing up. With desk workers as well, I'll have them log in meetings, and there's just a lot of stress. So I think there's a lot of talk around the mental aspect of all of that. And I think, again, it's seeing the actual data, you know, in that representation, and when they do feel stressed, and then they actually can see it in their glucose data, that's more so, okay, I actually need to focus more so on stress management. So again, it's that insight that provides, you know, better direction on what to do.
This also can help with cognition for like things like memory and your ability to learn and avoiding the 1 p.m. crash that a lot of people experience.
Yeah, so I think it's that mind-body connection where, you know, say someone comes in and they're feeling some sort of symptom, whether that be brain fog, or they're feeling a crash at a specific time of day, or they're having heart palpitations, and they're just trying to figure out if there's any sort of association with glucose, or if there's a glucose dip occurring at that time. I think the hypoglycemia is something that we see a lot. Again, I think it's just encouraging to have the metric to see the association with these symptoms that, you know, seem subjective, you know, having a tangible aspect or a metric to actually form the associations. And you're like, okay, this makes sense. I was feeling this way. I had a, you know, reactive hypoglycemic response. My glucose dipped really low. This makes more sense why I'm feeling like this. So with overnight values, again, what I was saying is it's super common to have, you know, be more responsive to carbohydrates and meals later on at night. So if that's a habit you've gotten into, and we'll see a roller coaster of, you know, your glucose overnight, and that maybe that impacted your sleep, and then your glucose values can be higher the next day. So it might just be that minor tweak of, okay, let's start with a lower carb meal, you know, in the evening, see if you have a better sleep and do you feel better the next day or your glucose levels the next day. So it it just provides more direction right there on what to actually do. And I see that those successes all the time. And someone, you know, comes in, makes a slight manipulation, and they feel significantly better.
And personally, I had extreme brain fog and fatigue for most of my life until I switched up my diet. I realized that it happened consistently about an hour and a half after every meal. And I discovered that on my own, but I could see how if I hadn't figured this out, that NutriSense would make it quite easy to say, oh, when I'm feeling this low, like zero energy, I just want to like curl up and take a nap after breakfast, after lunch, after dinner, that coincides with hypoglycemia. And since I already knew that, it didn't help me there, but it would have been extremely useful.
Definitely. And I think people see that all the time. Even we see hypoglycemic events that happen overnight as well. And a lot of times they're associated with someone waking up. So that's usually the first thing I ask is like, did you wake up from that low glucose dip as you were sleeping? If so, then we can kind of work with manipulations around there. A lot of the time it's something that is going on again, the evening before, what they're eating, whether it be, or some sort of alcohol that's involved. But all these things, everything does just take experimentation and, you know, slight manipulations here and there, but it is super helpful. So, and I was kind of the same way. I had brain fog and fatigue as well. And I was eating more so on the plant-based aspect of things, and I was having poor glucose responses to everything. I completely switched that, two years ago, and I feel way better. So I think that was a huge insight for me, and I definitely attribute monitoring my glucose to feeling better. So
I find that even without alcohol, I have the 2 a.m., 3 a.m. wake ups sometimes, and I've tracked it back to mostly either working out late at night and not replenishing my glucose levels adequately, or I guess fasting for too long, not eating close enough to bed.
Again, it just depends, because some people, it could just be that they're eating, you know, too many carbohydrates before bed, but someone might need a small dose of carbohydrates before bed to help them, you know, sleep better, or more protein. But definitely with exercise before bed, as you were mentioning, some people will have a high glucose response, and it can kind of keep your levels higher overnight, which can impact your sleep as well. So maybe, you know, if you see that, then switching to your workouts to earlier in the day might be more effective.
But even then, I think if you are training vigorously and you're not replenishing your carbohydrates, then you can be prone to some of these issues.
Yeah, definitely.
What's the relationship between hunger and hypoglycemia?
Yeah, so I always ask when I see a hypoglycemic event, because a lot of it can just be sensor induced. So I like to make sure that it's actually real. So if you are symptomatic and it is associated with a glucose dip, I think a lot of people do experience hunger in this instance. So you eat something and you have high blood sugar spike and then spikes really low, they might get extremely hungry again, because, you know, their body might be telling them, okay, we need to get your glucose levels back up. So it's through eating again that you can get your blood sugars back into more regular ranges. So
that was my case.
You did see a lot of hypoglycemia or?
I used to have that, and then I'll get ravenously hungry and wouldn't know why. I guess it's the hangry sensation.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's definitely association there. So
let's go to the tips and hacks for people to lower their blood glucose from what you've seen in the data of however many thousands of users.
For sure. I would say number one, if someone's not tolerating a carbohydrate well, just through, you know, initial experimentation, say you try a banana, next approach I'll take is just combine it with a protein. It's usually super effective. The only thing is, I think some people get backtracked because they'll try eating a protein first, but then they'll eat a ton of carbohydrates. So there has to be some sort of balance there for it to be effective. It's like you eat an egg and then eat five slices of pizza. It's not necessarily super effective, but if you eat, you know, two hard boiled eggs, then eat your banana, your response might be far more regulated. So I think in that aspect too, you know, if you try the banana, it doesn't mean you can't have banana ever again. It's more just working with that manipulation. Again, we discussed the walking after a meal.
Yep.
That's super effective. The post-workout phase is super effective. And, you know, that other huge trend that I see is the time of day. So working to eat your carbs earlier in the day for, again, someone might need more carbohydrates later on at night, but just for the general, you know, population that I see, a lot of people have more difficulty. So it might just be, you know, trying it out earlier in the day can be super helpful.
For me, I prefer to have it in the evening, and I found that I had the best response then, because even when I train in the morning, I keep my carbs low throughout the day until the last meal, I backload them. And I find that when I do that, I sleep better and recover better. So
yeah. Did you see high glucose responses at night when you were sleeping?
Not with NutriSense.
That's good. Yeah. See, that's the perfect example. It's like, you know, it's more confirming what you were feeling. And then you see in the data that it's not forming any poor response. Then, you know, ultimately if it's making you sleep better, then that's awesome. So,
yeah. What about supplements? I tried a couple. I tried berberine and saw that it made actually a huge difference outside of walking. I think it was actually more effective than cold showers. I think it was the second most effective hack I found.
I've seen successes with it. It doesn't mean that it's going to work for everyone, but it is helpful in, I think, lowering baseline values. And, you know, that's where I've seen successes with it for sure. But I think it's super interesting to try out. So generally the dosage that I recommend is 500. Mm-hmm. You know, two capsules of that a day, or 2 to 3 times a day with meals. So I have plenty of people that will work with that, and it's definitely interesting to see. So
I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Sean Wells, but he patented an ingredient called dihydroberberine, and it's essentially berberine's cousin that's stronger and lasts longer and has less GI upset. So that's one that I'm looking to test with my next NutriSense experiment.
Yeah, I've actually never heard of that, but that's so cool. When I tested berberine, I actually had stomach upset, so I stopped. But so that is, I just gave up, but I should have just kept trying. But that's just, it's definitely something to watch out for, so.
And then there's also like the apple cider vinegar and cinnamon and a couple of these others that aren't as effective, but they still might have a slight impact.
Yeah, I have a ton of success with apple cider vinegar. I do. Because I remember before I started wearing the CGM, it was kind of, I just thought it was just something that people always talk about that didn't actually work. But it really does. I think if you eat, you know, a huge pizza meal and just drink the ACV beforehand, it could be helpful. But if you are trying to just modulate that response, and what I'll do is I'll just put 2-3 tablespoons into water and drink that before. I know a lot of people probably don't like the taste of a lot, but it's super effective, I think. So if you do the ACV beforehand plus the protein combination, you can, and then you go for a walk after, you might be able to tolerate a glucose response far more effectively. So it's working for all those things.
There's also what, like, Chromium and InnoSlim and a bunch of others. I don't remember all of them off the top of my head, but I think there's a lot of other like blood sugar stabilizing ingredients out there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you mentioned cinnamon earlier. I think it's a hit or miss, truthfully. Same with the chromium as well. It's worth, you know, trying out, but I've the most prominent ones that I've seen most effectiveness with is the berberine and the ACV. Okay. Other ones, it's kind of like you can try it out, see if it works.
Yeah. Let's go on now and talk about why someone should choose Nutrisense out of the other 9+ CGM providing companies out there.
Definitely our major benefit is the fact that you do get a dietitian to support you through your journey. With glucose data, it's, you know, it's difficult for a lot of people to just interpret on their own. So I think it's very helpful for someone to have someone on their side. What happens if you do sign up for Nutrisense and you do get a continuous glucose monitor, then you get a dietitian and it's all in-app support. So all the communication is done through the app chat. And we will reach out to you, you know, a couple times a week and we kind of just work through it. It's dependent on how much the individual wants, but it's definitely, I think that is a major perk because I don't believe that the other companies have the dietitian support or, you know, medical advisory. So I think that's definitely the major win there for sure.
Yeah. And I didn't expect to utilize that at all. I figured I have my diet and lifestyle already in check and that it was totally unnecessary. So I discounted that. And then after I used it, it was great. I worked with Carly and she was a goldmine of advice.
For sure. And I think that's a lot of people coming in. They don't really know what to expect from the dietitian support. We see the feedback all the time and it's there's definitely a lot of positive feedback that there is so much information that's provided by the dietitian that they may not have known otherwise. So it's worth having that someone on your side just helping you analyze the data.
Yeah. And your app is also evolving. I know when I first downloaded it, between then and actually sticking the device onto my skin, there were some big changes, like the 2.0, I believe. And so you guys are constantly pushing new updates.
Oh yeah. We are always, you know, working on updates for the app, working on improvements. So we take a lot of what our users are telling us and we actually take their suggestions into consideration. We're always improving our, you know, meal logging or everything. So I think, you know, we just came out with like a meal score and everything. I don't know if that was there when you were using the app. Yeah. So we have meal scores now. So there's a lot of analytics and I think it's just more so, especially for, you know, someone who's interested in all the statistics of everything, it's cool to just watch the data over time, especially if I'm working with someone over long periods of time, you can actually see progress. So I think that's cool for sure.
Do you have any integrations with wearables like Aura, BioStrap, or the ketone meters, any of these?
Yeah, so we have integrations with Oura Ring. If basically anything that will connect to Google Fit or Apple Health, then it can integrate into our app. So if you have some sort of sleep thing. But with the Keto Mojo, you can directly sync it and then it'll automatically sync into our app. So where our sensor is not actually picking up, you know, ketone data, if you're using a Keto Mojo, then you can kind of just, it can consolidate all the information into one specific app. So I think it's very helpful to see that. So
I'm really curious how I like to overlay the glucose data on top of my HRV, my resting heart rate, my respiratory rate, all these other like, biological parameters.
Definitely. And I think that would be, you know, the ultimate goal is to have all the integrations of the different health technologies in one, because we're not just looking at glucose. We also have the integration of, you know, your sleep level, what's going on with your sleep and whatever you're picking up from the Oura Ring or heart rate variability. So all of these technologies intertwined in one would be an amazing platform.
So. Yeah. One day.
One day.
Speaking of, what is the future of continuous glucose monitoring technology, or what NutriSense is focused on, look like?
Yeah, I think we're focused right now on glucose, but ultimately we hope to be more so of a, you know, health technology platform. I think, you know, that is a long ways away, but hopefully, you know, working to integrate all these different aspects of health. Obviously we're specifically on glucose right now, but we're all just fascinated by all the emerging technologies. So I love it so much.
In a talk we had offline, you mentioned that something that fascinates you would be a continuous triglyceride monitor. Why is that?
Oh, for sure. I think triglycerides, insulin, and cortisol are my three other metrics that I would be interested in monitoring. But I just think triglycerides are so cool because if you're looking at a lipid profile, that's one of the primary aspects that you're focusing on. And they fluctuate very similarly throughout the day. So it could fluctuate in response to food. That's why if you go and get your triglycerides tested, you want it to be tested in a fasted state. So I think it would be so interesting to know what's going on there, especially since there's a huge role with triglycerides in cardiovascular health as well. So, and obviously there's large association with diabetes and cardiovascular health. So I think that coordination would just be so cool.
Yeah. Another thing that we didn't touch on that I think would be useful is how the whole process, say I decide that I want to work with NutriSense, I want one of these things, I want to understand my body better. What's the start to finish?
The whole process of understanding your body?
Yeah, of going from interest, listening to this show right now, to having glucose data on my phone.
Gotcha. So I think if you sign up for NutriSense, then you just have to go to our website, so NutriSense.io. You can fill out your information, pick whatever plan that you would like to see. We then require a health history questionnaire, and you will get your continuous glucose monitor in the mail. Then you have to apply it. It seems intimidating. I was intimidated at first, but then once you do it, you realize it doesn't hurt. So
let's talk about that for a second, because I think that's an important one. The sensor itself, there's a filament and it goes under the skin. So you have to pierce the skin, but can you talk about how exactly that happens with the device?
Right. So you have to apply the sensor on your own, but we do have videos on how to do it. So I think if you do get a continuous glucose monitor, just watch the video and it's pretty self-explanatory. But when you do apply it, the skin is punctured at first, but then there's not a needle that stays inside of you. It's just a microfilament that's picking up the blood. So that's why, you know, it can seem scary, but then it just sits on your arm. It lasts for 2 weeks and it continuously picks up your glucose. But then if you download the app, then all you have to do is like you scan it and you scan your sensor and then the glucose data will transmit into the app. So then you can actually see the fluctuations of what's going on. And then there's the coordination with the dietitian. Usually in the first couple of days that you apply the sensor, then your dietitian will reach out to you and you can talk with them as much or as little as you would like. So it's more so it's what the individual wants and we kind of go along with that. So
the application sounds scary, but I assure you that it's not painful. And it comes with an applicator, and the applicator is a round little spherish thing, half sphere. And you just put your arm up, you press it against your arm in the fattiest area, and it makes a click. And next thing you know, it's there. And I found there's slight aching after a couple hours, but it went away pretty quickly.
Yeah. I think sometimes I've felt a slight ache before, but other times I put it on, I don't feel anything. So once you put it on, you're like, oh, and it's good to go and you're done. And it just sits there. So, and we have a bandage too. If you can put over it for extra protection, just to ensure that, you know, it's not going to fall off or anything. So
what do you do if you have a hard time finding like a fatty spot on your tricep?
Well, I feel like it just, I usually just shoot for the center of your, the back of your tricep then. I feel like that's kind of, that I always go for the exact same position.
Okay.
So if you can't find a fatty spot, just definitely going center is probably your best bet.
And does that impact your glucose scores?
Your glucose stores?
No, scores. If you get the wrong spot and it's like there's too much muscle there, or it's just like not fatty enough, then how, like, what happens?
I have seen some variation in some people where they place it in a different location and there's just been some sort of variation, but we can just calibrate the sensor. So if the sensor is, you know, slightly higher or lower than true value, then we can always use a finger prick value and we can calibrate the sensor. So yeah.
One other thing about the process itself, you guys use the Freestyle Libre CGM device. How did you choose that? And what are the other options out there?
Yeah, so we're currently working with the Freestyle Libre just because it's what we had access to. But Dexcom's another device that we've had interest in as well. And the Dexcom is Bluetooth technology. So with us, you have to actually scan your sensor and it picks up the data in 15-minute increments, whereas the Dexcom is Bluetooth and it'll just automatically implement. So and I think with Dexcom too, you can place it on, you know, on your stomach as well. So you can, there's different placement methods, but with Freestyle Libre, we just stick to back of the arm.
The Dexcom is also way more expensive.
Yes.
Well, before we start wrapping up, do you have any like atypical stories you'd like to highlight?
In the last 2 weeks, I saw someone go skydiving. So I think that was cool. Their wow. Glucose. Yeah, I was excited to see it just because the adrenaline rush caused such a huge blood sugar spike and it lasted for a very prolonged period of time. So I thought that was just a super interesting thing to watch happen on your continuous glucose monitor. So
that's cool. I like that.
I got excited.
Well, Molly, where can my listeners pick up one of these devices or connect with you?
Yeah, so you can just go to the company website at Nutrisense.io. We're also on Instagram and Facebook. With Instagram, it's Nutrisense.io as well. But if you just visit the website, you can kind of browse through everything, and that's where you can, you know, fill out the information and sign up for the program.
I am a partner of theirs, so if you use the promo code URBAN, URBAN, you get $25 off. And the links to all this will be in the show notes.
Awesome.
I have one more question for you before we go on to the rapid fire round.
Gotcha.
Imagine that there's a burning of the books and all knowledge on earth is gone. You get to save the works of three teachers. They don't have to be books. They can be movies, podcasts, YouTube videos, you name it, anything. What would you choose and why?
Of three teachers? Probably Peter Attia. I think all of his information is awesome. So there's so many different podcasts and information out there that I think that would be awesome.
He has some on CGMs too.
Definitely. So I think that'd be great. Does it count? I have all of my physiology notes from undergrad. Does that count? I still look at them. So I think that would be something that I wouldn't want to lose touch of.
Oh, okay. If you think that would serve humanity, then yes.
It would, because if we lost everything, then I think having the basis of understanding of all those mechanisms and physiological processes in the body, I wouldn't want to lose that. So.
And your notes specifically.
Yeah, why not?
Okay, one more.
I guess just to follow along with glucose and all the ideas here, I would say maybe Dr. Fung, all of his information too. He has a lot with the mechanisms of insulin and everything. So I think his teachings are cool too. So
that was one of the original things I started researching as I began fasting. I think it was called The Complete Guide to Fasting.
Yeah. I think that's, I started reading him as well and that opened up a lot of interest for me. So I thought it was cool.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, now we'll go on to the rapid fire round. My answers or my questions will be short, but your answers don't need to be as short.
Okay.
What are you most interested in and researching these days?
Probably polycystic ovarian syndrome, PCOS, in female hormonal issues, definitely. I think there's a lot of misinformation out there, and there's so many issues with, you know, the female hormones and everything. So I'm just purely fascinated by that. So I've definitely been researching that a lot lately.
And huge biological differences between men and women.
For sure. We even see that in the glucose data too. So yeah, especially with like fasting or something, some, you know, a female might do, you know, an extended fast and have more difficulty due to, you know, hormonal issues, where, you know, a male might try it out and they might be able to have more successes with it. So I think it's cool to see, especially with the menstrual cycle too. So
interesting. Yeah. That's a whole nother layer.
Oh yeah. I can go into that.
What's the best or worst advice you've ever received?
I think the best advice is to always just remain curious. And I think I hold that true with, you know, everything that I do with work and everything. You know, science is always evolving. And as long as you're curious and open-minded, then, you know, we can build off of things from there. But I think if you remain stagnant in whatever your thought processes are, then you'll never progress from there. So I think that's good.
Yeah, it doesn't work in the 21st century.
No.
What's something the NutriSense tribe doesn't know about you?
I started playing guitar, so maybe people don't know that I've been doing that, but I've been taking lessons for the last year and a half, so I feel like that's kind of what I've been doing. So maybe they don't know that.
Nice. Pull it out of your back pocket someday.
Yeah.
Well, Molly, how would you like to conclude our episode together tonight?
I think that if anyone is, you know, interested in anything in regards to their health, even doing, you know, wearing a CGM for, you know, a small period of time, that can be helpful in providing more insight into your body. So I'm the biggest advocate for it. I found, you know, so many different things through monitoring my blood sugar. So I just hope that I can encourage someone else to do it as well and hopefully find more discoveries along their health journey.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, thanks for your time tonight, Molly. It's been a blast interviewing you and helping spread the understanding of continuous glucose monitors far and wide. And I hope that people hear this and take advantage.
Of course. It was so nice talking to you, Nick.
I'm Nick Urban, here with Molly Downey, signing out from mindbodypeak.com. Have a great week. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Head over to Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a rating. Every review helps me bring you thought-provoking guests. As always, you can find the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/episode. There, you can also chat with other peak performers or connect with me directly. The information depicted in this podcast is for information purposes only. Please consult your primary healthcare professional before making any lifestyle changes.